Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Ephesians chapter 2 reveals that the most crucial item of God's creation took place in the New Testament. Chapter 2, verse 15, abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments in ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man, so making peace. So what is this newly created item, or more accurately, this new creation? It is the new man, and it is the centerpiece of God's work throughout the ages. If we love God and love His Word and desire to be in the center of His plan, we need to see a vision of the one new man. Bob Danker has joined us today. Welcome back to the broadcast.
It's good to be back, Chris. Surely this item here you've mentioned, the one new man, is one of the greatest items in the entire New Testament. And I agree with you. We need to see a vision of this one new man. And we hope that in this broadcast, we could convey such a vision to all our listeners.
We saw that even Christ's work on the cross involved the new man. Let's talk about that for a couple of minutes.
Yes, Chris. When God created man in the beginning, in Genesis, actually the man that God created was a corporate man. Not just a collection of individuals or even one man, but a corporate man. God's eternal purpose is to have a corporate man to express himself. Mm. But as we know, this created man fell. And this fallen man became the old man, a collective humanity, which as we read through the book of Genesis, eventually we see that this created and fallen old man was eventually divided into many nations. And all these nations have their own customs, their own culture, and their own ways of living.
Right.
And their own rules and regulations for the way they live. And by these cultures and regulations, we may call them ordinances, they all were divided from each other. And there was even a kind of enmity mm-hmm. among the nations. This was especially true between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews were God's people. They lived by the ordinances of the law. The Gentiles were pagans, heathens, mm-hmm. you know, right. unruly, wild people.
Yes.
And there was a great gulf between the Jews and the Gentiles. But as we saw in our last broadcast, on the cross, Christ abolished in his flesh all the separating ordinances, the different ways of living and worshiping of God. He abolished them all. He took away the enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. And then he created the Jewish and the Gentile believers in himself into a new man. And this, as you pointed out, was a new item of God's creation, something absolutely new, a new creation.
Wow.
But yet something which God desired to have from the very beginning.
And Bob, obviously, the separations between the peoples, the races, the cultures, the nations continue on as the fall continues on. I think is very meaningful for all of our listeners today is that incorporated into our salvation, even for us, is a salvation from this kind of separation, isn't it?
Exactly, Chris. We need to be saved out of the divided and confused situation that exists today among the nations. And we need to experience the reality of the one new man.
And even fairly, we must say, within the body of Christ, the enemy has successfully inserted separations, divisions, kinds of ordinances that have really divided up even God's people. And surely this is on God's heart very much in these days, don't you think?
Absolutely, Chris. God wants us to experience Christ's crucifixion, which terminated all the dividing factors, and then to enter into the enjoyment of his resurrection where we can actually be one new man.
Well, Paul goes on, Bob, in chapter 2 and then comes back to this matter in chapter 4, and that's really where we're at today. Between chapter 2 and chapter 4, we see the new man talked about in both instances. And then in Colossians, again, he brings it up. And what we will see, a striking similarity today between a couple of verses we'll read in Ephesians 4 and a couple of verses in Colossians 3. Okay, Ephesians 4, 22, 23, and 24 say that you put off, as regards your former manner of life, the old man which is being corrupted according to the lusts of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of the reality. So we have putting off and putting on in Ephesians 4, but also in Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his practices, and have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Putting off and putting on, that's really our topic today, Bob. Let's join Witness Lee.
The putting on of the new man is a kind of renewing. It is not something from outside for you to put on. You see, now I put on the jacket, some objective thing outside of me to put upon my body. This kind of putting on is too outward, objective. But the putting on of the new man in the New Testament is something from within. This is not just the outward objective putting on, but this is the inward subjective renewing. The new man was created on the cross. Christ slew all the ordinances on the cross with the view to produce the one new man. And where he produced this one new man? In his resurrection. In his resurrection, the new man was created, was produced, and that was completed. Then, at the time when we believe, the very generating spirit, the life-giving spirit, came into our spirit with his product. And what is his product? That is the one new man. So by this, the one new man was put into our spirit, was born into our spirit. So from the time of our regeneration, our spirit began to have the one new man. And then from that time onward, this one new man is going to saturate our being, to spread this one new man into every part of our being. And this spreading is actually the putting on. And this is also called the renewing. Put on the new man, which is being renewed. How much this new man could be put on you, it depends upon how much you could be renewed.
Well, Bob, we began by this word telling all of our listeners how much we need a vision of the new man. I think here it is. This vision includes the fact that this new man was really created on the cross, wasn't it? And now let's talk about the putting on and what that really implies.
This is a tremendous vision, Chris, that I would say most Christians have missed this vision. So we really need to see this. When the Lord was on the cross, he was not only terminating the entire old creation with all the negative things associated with it.
Right.
He was actually carrying out a new creating work. He was creating a new item. And this new item is the new man. And this creating work was finished in the resurrection of Christ. So, in a sense, the new man exists already. It consists of Christ as the head and all the believers as the body. This new man is a reality. But in our experience, according to Paul's word, we have to put on this new man for ourselves in our own experience. And I just appreciate what Brother Lee said very much. He said, when we believed in the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord entered into our spirit and brought that created new man, which is a reality,
right
into our spirit. Now, day by day, as we exercise our spirit, as we contact this wonderful life-giving spirit in our spirit, and as we walk according to this spirit within us, then spontaneously the new man spreads from our spirit into our mind, emotion, and will, and saturates our whole inner being with the reality of the new man. This causes us to be renewed. Before we believed in the Lord, we were altogether the old man. But now we have the new man in our spirit, and this new man is spreading into our soul to renew us, to make us something new, to bring us more and more, even gradually, day by day, into the reality of the one new man.
Boy, so this putting on is not something, and I've heard it described as exactly as he referred to here, as a kind of a putting on of a jacket, but that's a very objective, external kind of putting on. And the putting on, in reality, is this inward spreading, isn't it?
It is, Chris. This is a marvelous vision, and we need to experience this renewing process. It's a lifelong process, actually, that's carried out in our daily life by this renewing spirit in our spirit.
Well, along with the putting on, as we read in Ephesians 4, there is the matter of the putting off, which we want to come back to now. Again, verse 22 in Ephesians 4 says that you put off as regards your former manner of life, the old man. Then Paul elaborates on this a bit in Colossians 3, the next verse in sequence there. We're reading both parallel passages here today. Verse 11 in Colossians 3 says, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. There cannot be any of these things in the new man, Bob.
That's right, Chris. So we need to put off the old man.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
For us to put on the new man, we need to put off. To put off the old man. Ephesians 4:22 says to put off the old man concerning the former manner of life. It's very meaningful. We all know the manner of life implies a lot. In the day, you go to work. Then in the evening, you have your manner of life. Either go to some kind of entertainment, or go to some kind of sport, or just sit home watching TV. That's your manner of life. No need for me to say too much. You know all kinds of manner of life. In the new man, there cannot be Greek and Jew, barbarian and Scythian, bondman and freeman. That cannot be. Why? Because all the former manner of life is buried, is put away. The Jewish manner of life, the Greek manner of life, the barbarian and the Scythian manner of life is put away. In that day, in the church at Colossae, you have the most cultural Greeks. You have the most religious Jews. And you have the barbarians, and you have the Scythians. And they all got saved. And they all got into one church. My goodness. When they all come to the Lord table, what shall they do? Now you understand, this is what exactly the Apostle Paul meant. You have to put off your old man. In your former manner of life, in Colossians 3, after the putting off and after the putting on, it says where. That means in the renewed church life. There cannot be. Mr. Vincent, in his study of the New Testament word, says the Greek word here is very much strengthened. Just to say there is not adequate. He says it means there cannot be. Cannot be means there's no room, no place. There's no room for the Greeks at the Lord's table. There's no room for the Jews. Neither there's room for barbarians, for heathens. No. There's only room for Christ. If you do mean business to be renewed, to put out the manner of life, you have to give your former manner of life a good funeral. You have to put them not only off you, but also into a coffin and bury them.
I got a picture there, Bob, of this Lord's Table meeting in the church in Colossae with all of these various attendees, barbarians and Greeks and Jews and Scythians and slaves and freemen. And Paul only has one word for them, doesn't he?
That's right. He told them all that they have to put off their old man, which means to put off their old manner of life. Every one of these classes or categories of people have their own way of living. Suppose they all bring their own way of living into the church life. Could we have the reality of the one new man? That would be impossible. So the only solution is that we give our former manner of life a good funeral and bury this former manner of life and enter into the living of the one new man. This is what Paul is laboring here, to bring the believers out of the realm of the old man with all his ways, his manner of life, and to bring them into the reality of the one new man.
Let's talk about just a moment this very key point, because there's no way that in and by ourselves we can put off our manner of life, our characteristics, our culture. It really requires us living this other life, doesn't it?
It does, Chris. The life that we receive when we were regenerated is the life of the new man. And so we have to really renounce our old, natural, fallen human life, which was the source of our old way of life, our old manner of life. And we need to live by another life, which is the divine life in our spirit. This life is just Christ Himself. If we live by the divine life, then this word will be fulfilled. In the new man, there's room only for Christ, for nothing else. Christ will be the unique person in the one new man.
He got a lot of help here, he mentioned, from Vincent's study of New Testament words. That's a good resource, isn't it?
It is. This is, a four-volume study by Marvin Vincent of the key words in the New Testament. It's a very, very big help to use these kind of resources to get into the deeper meaning of the Greek words that we have translated into our Bible, whether it's English Bible or other language. Without these word studies, it's hard for us to know the real and full meaning of these Greek words.
Yeah, because Vincent really underscores this matter of the strength of this word. It's not enough just to say where there is not Greek and Jew, but really where there cannot be.
That's right. It's a strong word. It means there's no possibility to have. There's no room for. There's no place for the Greek, Jew, and so forth. There's room only for Christ.
Wonderful. Bob, our final segment today goes back to this very crucial point that this new man has really been installed in our spirit, and God's desire is for this new man that's already in us in the divine life spread out and saturate our whole being. Let's go back to Witness Lee once more.
Now, our spirit must be the dominating part of our whole being. Our spirit has to be the spirit of our mind. Our spirit must be the leading, directing, governing, dominating element of our whole being. Then we live not according to our former manner of life, but according to this dominating, controlling, governing, directing spirit. What is God after today? He is after a new man. And this new man must be the church's living today. The church today must live this new man. And how to live this new man? Just by putting off the former manner of life. And by living according to the dominating, directing, governing, controlling spirit. If we live this way, spontaneously, we are being renewed. And we are having the new man as our church life.
Bob, of course, a fundamental aspect of this ministry is realizing that in the Bible, man is of these three parts, body, soul, and spirit. If this living of the new man is to be a reality, that means the need is that the spirit become the dominant part. What is this really implying in terms of how this is applied in our living?
Chris, in the manner of life of the old man, man's soul and man's fallen body are dominating the old man. This leads to an old manner of life which is corrupted and is being corrupted all the time.
Right.
But in order for us to be rescued out of that old manner of life, we have to abandon the old source of that life, which is our fallen human life in our soul and in our physical body. We can no longer take ourself as the source. We can no longer allow ourselves to be dominated by our soul, by our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own intentions. We must have a new center, a new governing, directing, and leading part of our being. And that must be our regenerated human spirit, which is actually indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. So when we live and walk according to our regenerated spirit, we actually live according to the Spirit of Christ, and we live Christ, then Christ becomes our living. And he becomes, in reality, the only person in the new man, because he's the only one who's living.
Boy, this changes very much our understanding of a phrase that is, I think, common to all Christians, and that is to walk by the Spirit, doesn't it?
It does. That means we have to walk by our spirit, which is regenerated and indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.